Welcome to Bethelcast. We're excited today. Brian and I are incredibly excited, aren't we, Brian?
We are.
Because Absolutely. We have with us today somebody who has been, for me, in my ministry here at Bethel, and for many people, a real spiritual father for us. Someone who has shaped our lives as a community, and my life individually. And I'm excited to welcome our favorite dentist, former dentist, and Philadelphia Eagles fan, Charles Moyer. Charlie Moyer, welcome, Charlie.
Woo, Charlie.
Thank you. What an introduction.
He's a little...
That's an honor.
He's a little trepidatious about it, but I think he's got this. We told Charlie this is fun, and we're going to have a great time together. And really, is when I envisioned this podcast as an opportunity to share people's life and faith, it's people like Charlie that I had in mind, because there's such wisdom there, and there's also just wonderful... wonderful insight into living a life that follows Jesus. And so we told Charlie what we're going to do is we're going to hear a little bit of his story, and I think that's how we're going to start. And Charlie, just tell us, I know we know it, but for our listeners, tell us a little bit about who you are, your life, your wife, your kids, and how you ended up at Bethel, and a little bit about your story.
All right, that's impressive. Thank you. Well,
oh, by the way, Charlie has the best radio voice of anybody we will interview, so thank you, Charlie, for bringing that voice with us.
So I hear. Interestingly, my wife and I met at Eastern Mennonite College then, and I was doing actually something for the radio station there when she first heard me. We had no idea of each other at the
yes.
moment, but after that, she was at least aware of who I was. We went to school at Eastern Mennonite College and met, and that's of course a place called the Match Factory, which many people will know, similar experiences in their church colleges, but where else?
Why were you at Eastern Mennonite?
Well, that's where I was going to college. That was my...
Because
I am a Mennonite.
I'm
yes,
a Mennonite, yes.
A Mennonite. So when we moved here, we wanted to find a church. We looked at various places, a number of denominations, but this one was right close to us, actually, on our way into town, and so we went on time, and naturally, Glenn Combs was there to welcome us.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a story in his own
that's,
right.
That's another spiritual father
yes.
of Bethel, right?
Near departed, but now
yeah.
A very wonderful hero of our faith here.
Yes.
Anyway, after our second visit here, I announced to Carolyn, and this is one of our favorite expressions, I don't know where you're going to go, but I'm going to Bethel Lutheran. She, being the good Mennonite girl that she was, grew up in a community in Michigan where the Lutherans were their rowdy group. She was not ready right off for that designation. Well, turns out, Bethel Lutheran is a church that's different from what she remembered or grew. And really, the important thing for me was, I could tell it was a scriptural place
yes.
back then. Besides the friendliness of Glenn Combs and others, it was really a place that I figured we could fit in as Mennonites. We could share in worship and fit in. Interestingly, on a side note, disciple class this past week, somebody was telling us, one of our students was telling us, he spoke to a trucker who comes by here from Pennsylvania to Winchester and beyond, but at least several times a week he makes this trip. This trucker told my student, I go past that church, he says, and I can tell the Lord is there.
Huh.
I was amazed. I said, did you tell that to Pastor Dave? He said, I will.
Wow.
That was impressive to
yes,
me.
Yes, absolutely. That is awesome.
Because that's exactly my experience. Why we find this place to be so welcoming and spiritual and just the right thing for us.
Yeah.
Now, so what did I say?
So who fell for who first? I want to know that. Was it you for Carolyn or Carolyn for you?
I'll tell you this. I was a junior, and she came in as a freshman. By the time I was a junior, I knew that I wanted one of those girls from Pigeon, Michigan. Now, a couple of the others were taken. So, by process of elimination, that's how that happened.
And you've been married how long now, Charlie?
Well, I guess I should be proud of it, but it's sort of a number that people don't believe. 54
years. Nice. Tremendous.
Some people say, good gosh.
Well, you know.
Where's your excitement?
Yeah, I mean, but that's amazing. I mean, and that's a great witness. And I think maybe the Lord knew what he was doing. He picked the girl who would stay with you for 54 years. I think that's what he was doing, right?
There you go.
Sure. Oh my gosh, that's awesome, Charlie. And so your life was as a dentist.
Yes. I went back to that as a father of three. And I was the oldest guy in the class. The next year after I started, there were other older people that came in the classes, but I was in my class the oldest guy. I was 9 years older than everybody else. So Carolyn put us through with bread and butter during that time, and I was able to do the studies, and then we moved we stayed right there in the community where I grew up, so I was able to work with people that I knew, and we stayed with the church that we were in, which was a smallish church. And here's the other strange thing. We decided we wanted to come to a larger church because we weren't going to be in a church where we were going to have to be small and active.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yes. Yeah. And, well, we're glad that you saw a different path, and we love your activity and all the things that that you do here, Charlie. That's tremendous. I'm going to let Brian talk you through the next piece, and we're just thankful that... to hear a little bit of that story. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, when I met you, Charlie, I knew quickly and shortly that you reflect the life of Jesus. You just can't help but be one who God's love happens to dance with and radiate through. And early on, I knew that the way that you mentor, the way that you live out God's love through your humble, faithful, wise life is beautiful and worth imitating by many, and every kid and youth and adult who interacts with you somehow gets a slice of Jesus. So tell me how on a daily basis you walk with Jesus, you follow, you dare run after the love of God as God's love has claimed you. What does that mean for you?
Well, it's not as consistent as one would hope. I would always hope. Certainly. I run through, just like everybody else, I would imagine, cycles of good and bad. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's regular, but other times the chores of life, the activities of life, disappointments and all that makes it not so easy. So, But really, I can't say that I'm the most consistent disciple that I'd like you to see. I just wish I were better at that. But it's still an important part of my life. I intend that. I wish I have friends who I wish were more important to, and I wish I could do more to help them understand the importance thereof. But
it sounds like you're kind of witnessing a little bit to the challenging and even a bit painful realities of following. Our desire to be more consistent, our desire to be more faithful, is on one hand never enough, and yet it is enough because it's about Jesus and about the way that God's love might do what God's love wants to do.
I think sometimes people, I get the feeling people said, well, why doesn't he let up a little bit, or why is he so spiritual? And well, you know, maybe that's something I shouldn't even feel or think about, but I do.
Yeah.
People are a little reluctant to be considered spiritual, I think.
Interesting. Why?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. But I feel that. I just feel it. Like when I want to shout amen to Pastor Dave in the sermon, I'm the only one who ever does that.
Right.
Keep it up. It's fine. Right. Don't feel bad. I love it.
Yeah.
No, but I hear you, Charlie. I mean, you echo, I think, a struggle that I always feel, too. I mean, I'm never fully what I would hope to be. You know, Paul says all the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. I mean, and so, as you know, in our life, in teaching, one of the things that Charlie does so well is teach one of our disciple classes, and has become the kind of the pattern here at Bethel. Is I teach disciple one, which is the intro class, and then whichever class we do after that, two, three, or four, depending on who's going to do it. Charlie has been traditionally doing that. What I tell them, Charlie, is they have to go through the minor leagues of Bible study with me first before they can graduate to the majors, be with you. But you know what we, I think, both try to embody in that class is to tell them, hey, look, you know. You know, we're not perfect at this either, but we're all trying. We're all trying.
And you mentioned that disciple class. That is truly a life-changing experience.
Indeed.
That has been a wonderful challenge to me. I'm delighted to do it. I'm into the second cycle through them already. And
always bringing up new stuff, too, I know.
Finding new stuff. It's wonderful stuff out there. I wish people could understand that it's not going to harm them. It's really going to help them. I'd love to have more people in those classes because it's just amazing what resources are available on these scriptures that are so old.
Well, you know, there was a study done not too long ago. I was involved with it, and it basically said that the number one catalyst for changing your life and discipleship, the number one, beyond anything, was reading Scripture regularly and becoming familiar with it. That was it. You can have the greatest, most wonderful preaching, you could have the most awesome service projects, you could have the most engaging and exciting worship ever, but the thing that will change people's life daily in the relationship and walk with Jesus is Scripture. And it's interesting that you highlighted that at the very beginning, that you could tell that that was important here. And I do think it is important at Bethel. And we offer so many opportunities for people to engage Scripture in different ways. And hopefully that is changing lives. And I know this, Charlie. Lives are being changed because of what you do. And the Lord is working through you, even with your imperfections, Charlie, which we don't see very often, but I'm sure they're there, like you said. My imperfections, Brian's, all of ours.
Yeah.
The Lord, while we know that what we offer is not enough for Jesus, Jesus takes our not enough and makes it not only enough, but more than we can ever imagine.
I really love messing around with the Bible with you, Charlie. For our wonderful podcast listeners who love you, is there a story currently that has kind of shaped you? Like one of the last few days or weeks, a story of Scripture that just kind of has mattered to you a lot?
It's a great question.
Well, we're studying Paul's letters in our disciple class, and we're really aware of conflict and discussions and dissension about Apostle Paul. So I discovered that a woman who's a friend of mine from high school back in southeastern Pennsylvania has been a theologian for her adult life, and she is also, she's at Eastern Mennonite university now, but she's traveled around the country, and she's a person who challenges the speakings of Paul from a feminist standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm working through 1 Corinthians with her and her blog, and that's a serious challenge. For myself, we just discussed 1 Timothy, and I'm surprised that 1 Timothy never comes up when people are criticizing Paul about his role of women in the church.
Yeah,
I think that's an interesting story.
I believe she did. She come and speak here?
No, not anybody that I brought here. I have had a couple of teachers from theologians from Eastern Mennonite here a few years ago, but it was not her.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll put her on the docket for
that would be
fun. Maybe we'll have to think about that. So, Charlie, again, thank you for the time today. One of the things that Charlie has been very active in, and we appreciate, and I want to just say publicly, I've done it, but I want to say it here too, is the work you're doing with our confirmation kids. You're always a mentor. How great has that been?
I love that program. Yeah. That is just so wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, you've made some real lasting relationships with those folks.
I learned what fathers of daughters enjoy.
Yes.
I never had that.
You never had that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I never had that. You know, I was afraid the first time I was asked by a young girl. I checked with her parents. I checked with the pastors. Is this okay? They said, yes, it's okay. But it's truly surprising to me. Fathers of daughters, fathers and daughters have a special relationship.
Yeah.
I guess it compares to mothers and sons.
Probably, yeah.
But I never experienced that until this mentoring. But the mentoring process that our pastors have developed, thank you, Dave, and Pastor Heidi, has really done a magnificent job. And I hope, too, that it makes a difference in the youngsters' lives.
It is.
Really.
We think it's the highlight of the program.
And, it really is a wonderful program.
And Charlie, you're already the mentor emeritus, so we appreciate all that you've done. And this has been great, Charlie, and I know people are going to be heartened by that. And thank you for your time today. Brian, why don't I just let you pray us out here? Yeah. Sound good?
Yeah. Well, listeners, may you persevere and keep following Jesus. And know that there's times to struggle and grow. And oh God, thank you for these gifts and for Charlie's life and for the ways that you continue to call us forward to love like your son. Help us to hang in there when we feel like we're not enough and realize that your love for us and for the world is enough. And oh podcast community, may you continue to go deeper in faith and wider in love. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Charlie, we're going to let you close us out with a big old amen.
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 Amen, brother.